Good morning and welcome to this conference referring to fourth quarter results at Energia. This presentation will be conducted by Mario Staali, the company CEO, and Leonardo Gadelha, the company CFO. This conference call is being transmitted live through the internet at a webcast, and you can access through ri.neoenergia.com. This is where you will also find the presentation, the slides. All participants are now connected just as listeners, and later on we will have a Q&A session where we will give you further instructions to ask your questions. This conference is held in Portuguese, and we have simultaneous translation into English. Should you need any assistance through the conference, please ask for the help of our operator typing star zero. This event is also being recorded, and it will be made available at the investor relations website from Neoenergia. We would like to clarify that forward-looking statements during this conference related to business perspectives at Neoenergia, projections, operational targets, financial targets, they are premises from the company's administration and based on current information available. Forward-looking considerations are not an assurance of performance. They involve risks and uncertainties because they refer to future events, and they are connected to circumstances that may or may not happen. General conditions, sector conditions, and other operational factors can have an impact on future results of the company and lead to results that are materially different from those described. Now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Mario Staali. You can proceed.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank you all for joining this conference call for the fourth quarter of 2020 and for the year of 2020 as a whole. Besides Leonardo Gadelha, we also have here with us Solange Ribeiro, Deputy CEO, Eduardo Capelastegui, who is our Executive Director of Planning, Fulvio Machado, who is Head of Networks, and Renato Rocha, who is our Head of Investor Relations. We're going to do a brief presentation about the results of the period. Leonardo is going to give you then more details about the quarter and year results, and then we will move into a Q&A and final remarks. 2020 will be in our memory as our difficult year for the reasons we know, but for us at Neoenergia, we reached the end of the fourth quarter very proud for everything we've delivered and the results we've reached, and a lot of trust in resuming economic activity now with vaccines. On slide number four, we will see the four main dimensions that set us apart in 2020. Throughout this year, in spite of the difficulties imposed by COVID-19, Neoenergia was firm and showed its execution capacity, its pioneering spirit, and its innovation in reaching results. We connected 240,000 new customers to our distributors. We built 19,000 km of distribution lines. Regarding substations, we built 19 new substations, and we've increased 26. These are assets that are now part of our compensation base. In transmission, we added 79 million in our annual allowed revenue, RAP, by delivering two lots, and we are still building and accelerating the building of the wind complexes of Chafariz and Oitis. I wanted to highlight our digital connection project that have strong activity throughout the year and accelerated also the digitalization of our customers. We created new customer service channels and new collection methods. The pandemic had us anticipating in almost 2 years, bringing forward the plans that we had for digitization. So I'd like to highlight that we increased our digital channels that made it much easier to collect our bills without having customers to leave their homes. They were with movements restricted during the pandemic. So On December 31st, we had 4.6 million customer service made through WhatsApp. Now it's over 5 million already. We made partnerships with fintechs that allowed us to receive payment through credit card for energy bills. So we've collected about 120 million in 2020, paid through this method. Also, we have Neoenergia adhering to the Pix payment system, which led to 1 million bills generated. And 2020 will be a year in our memories because we've consolidated important steps looking at the future of our company. In terms of distribution, we acquired SEB SEB, a distribution company, a premium distribution company. And when it's compared to other assets, and we are sure that through these investments, through modernizing the network, through our knowledge and our excellent management, we will accelerate the benefiting from opportunities that create value. We will also do an amazing turnaround for this company starting in March when we will have full control. In December, we've also bought with the lowest discount in the auction, Lot 2. This is a strategic position for us in the countryside of the state of Bahia, 1,100 kilometers and one substation. Over 80% of the lot is in the state of Bahia. This is very important for us. In December, we've also announced the construction of our first photovoltaic park in Luzia. This is close to the wind park of Chafariz. It will also be connected to the Santa Luzia lines. So that means a lot of synergy in construction and operations. This park is born with 100% of its energy sold until 2026, and 20% of it is sold until the end of its working life. This is a contract we celebrate with a Claro telephone operator. In 2020, we've also announced the acquisition of a project, a wind project in the state of Bahia, 400 megawatts of wind energy. That is very important strategically. It will allow us to move on further into renewable energies together with the wind parks of Chafariz and Oitis. 2020 was a year that allowed us to restate our commitment to Brazil, to the population around our areas. Neoenergia, throughout the pandemic, we did volunteering work. We donated equipment, food. We provided help to areas such as the area of Pantanal. We focused on supporting the health sector, hospitals. We have an energy efficiency program. We donated refrigerated equipment, technical refrigerated equipment to preserve the vaccines. This is so important for the economic activity in Brazil. I wanted to highlight also the first green corridor, 1,100 kilometers. It crosses six states in the northeastern region of Brazil. This is a pioneering initiative with 18 recharging points. On slide six, we will see the results of the fourth quarter and of the year 2020. We have the clear perception that the impacts of the pandemic or the worst has been left behind. The second quarter of 2020 is now part of the past, and recovery can be seen in our activities. We've had excellent results in 2020, considering the difficulties that we face because of the pandemic, and this shows how the market has been recovering throughout the year. This has been seen a trend in 2020. Injected energy went up 10.4% in the fourth quarter when compared to the third quarter, and compared to the same period of the previous year, the growth was of 1.3%. Fourth quarter of 2019 was a huge growth quarter for our network. Again, a trend that we see now in early 2021. I'd like to highlight PCLD, the provision for credit losses in our distributors. We improved our collection due to the success of our collection activities, and we also reinforced field activities. So there was a decrease in 67% when compared to the previous quarter and 68% when compared to the fourth Q of 2019. This is also the result of our efficiency in terms of execution and the advancement in our growth project of transmission and wind, besides the investments we've made in distributors. We've executed a capex of 2.1 billion reais in the fourth quarter, 49% above the fourth quarter of 2019. And that's 6.4 billion in the year, 44% higher than the same period of 2019. This is aligned to what we had forecasted for the year 2020, without taking into consideration the pandemic, the impacts of the pandemic. EBITDA in its turn reached 2.1 billion reais in the fourth quarter of 2020. That's 39% above the same period of 2019. Year to date, EBITDA was of 6.5 billion, which represents a 14% increase when compared to the previous year. This EBITDA does not take into account the impact of COVID-19, market, delinquency. This is now being the debate with the regulatory agencies. The EBITDA of the fourth quarter and of the year are a direct impact of the economic recovery and of our areas of concession. It's important to capture efficiencies. And this is also the result of Neoenergia's ability of having crossed in a successful manner such a challenging year. Net income in the fourth quarter was 996 million reais, 61% above the fourth Q of 2019. And the whole year of 2020, we reached a record of 2.8 billion reais. This is an increase of 26% when compared to 2019. This is also the result of a greater EBITDA that we had and better financial results. Regarding operational expenses, in the fourth quarter, we presented growth due to the recovery of our cut actions and reinforcing our collection initiatives, volumes much higher than traditional ones in order to recover the culture of payment in our customers. It had been impacted during the pandemic. We also had non-recurring expenses, and we had some specific lows in specific CELPE assets. In April, and actually in the year, we were 1% above 2019 in terms of operational expenses. We've absorbed inflation pressures. There was a growth in our base of customer by 240,000 customers. We also increased our headcount by 1,065 collaborators, and we also have new assets coming into service. Besides activities and new projects, we can rest assured that we are always focusing on our cash and liquidity. We have a new efficiency plan that will be launched in 2021. We understand the concern of shareholders regarding liquidity in our group Neoenergia. But in 2020, we show that we finished the year with 2.85, the net debt EBITDA ratio. And this is the confirming the deleveraging plan that we had forecasted since the IPO. I wanted to highlight also that since 2017, Neoenergia has focused 1.9 billion reais to our shareholders. Moving now to slide 7, I wanted to share a bit with you what Neoenergia has done in recent years. When we look carefully, since 2017, when Electra was incorporated into Neoenergy, and that's when Iberdrola got control of the company. Under all perspectives, Neoenergia has presented excellent performance. Our gross margin from 2017 to 2020 grew considerably, and it reached 42.6%. That represents a CAGR of 9.3%. This is an impact of the organic growth of our distributors and more recently of our expansion in the area of transmission. Looking at operational expenses, which we know is a point of concern, the graphic makes clear that we have this commitment to discipline and costs. We are proud to having kept our OPEX since 2017 in spite of accumulated inflation rate of 16.4% and a 41.4% IGPM inflation rate. We have 700,000 new consumers being connected to our base in this period, over 2,700 collaborators that joined the company, and increasing our base of collaborator. We've also absorbed all expenses coming from new projects that are coming into operation. So again, this year we will launch an efficiency plan so that we can keep on giving these clear signs that we are very much aware of that. This is in our DNA. We are always going to be below inflation. EBITDA in its turn grew by 77% since 2017. The CAGR was a 15.4%, and the net income grew expressively, 431%. The CAGR is a 51.8%. So Neoenergia numbers for 2017 till 2020 are extraordinary. We can now move to slide 8 to look at our transmission projects. I wanted to highlight first that in spite of the pandemic, we keep working to be in plan and in projects, also in schedule. Regarding the April lots, we've delivered 3 substations with CAPEX below what forecasted. We also finished 2020 integrating to the system 3 out of the 5 systems of Lot 4 that was acquired in April 17. This allowed us to have access to 79 million reais in annual allowed revenue, RAP. Our forecast is to finalize these lots by the first semester of 2021. This is once again moving forward in our business plan. Regarding the two December 17 lots, we also have sound perspectives of anticipating the delivery of them in 2021. That means an RAP of 180 million reais. In Lot 4, we have 1,300 people in the construction site. We've built 1,400 foundations. That means 99% of the total. And we've set up 1,167 towers, which is equivalent to 79% of the total. In Lot 6 of the same auction, it's a bit smaller than the previous one, Lot 4, 943 people at the construction site. We've built 439 foundations, that's 62% of the total. And we set up 227 towers, 32% of total. So the full delivery of these two lots will be beforehand, and we will have an RAP of 300 million. Regarding December 2018 lots, we have done something that's unheard of. The first public hearing with IBAMA for the licensing of lots 1, 2, 3, and 14. These were acquired in the December 2018 auction. For lot 1, we already have 5 preliminary licenses for the line. We have 104 kilometers of line. Of 230 kV. Last week, we've obtained an installation license out of the lot 1. We also have Itajaí in Santa Catarina. We also have Taboca, our construction company, can begin construction. In lot 14, Marmeleiros and Livramento substations are under construction, and they will be delivered probably in 2021. We are also building a line of 244 kilometers in Santa Maria. Here we also have the preliminary license for a 245-kilometer line at Povo Novo, Guaíba. As for Lot 9, this was the auction in December 2019. We've obtained a preliminary license and also the installation license. So that's 60% equation. The land is duly settled and construction contracts have all been signed. Finally, as I said before, in December, we acquired lot 2 in an auction with the lowest discount. It's a 1,100 kilometer lot, which will be built using the synergies that we have with our alliance. It will make sure that we will anticipate delivery, the lowest possible CAPEX, and we will reach better returns. On slide 9, we have now our renewable projects. We have the wind parks of Chafariz and Oitis. As for the Chafariz in the state of Paraíba, they are ahead of schedule. This allowed us to walk before our business plan. We started construction 3 months in advance, and we've absorbed the impacts of the pandemic with our execution in 2020. We have 1,300 people working at the construction site. All the foundations and platforms are concluded. Aerogenerators will be built starting next week. Our Oitis complex will go into operations in mid-2022. 96% of its energy is focused on the free market. The main contracts have been signed. As for aerogenerators, construction equipment, all installation licenses of the complex are with us already. Construction works started in November 2020. That's also 3 months before schedule. And 20% of the foundations are already excavated. As the Oitis and Chafariz parks start to go into operation, wind energy will be focused on the free market and will be sold at prices that ensure the profitability of our projects. In December, we announced that we will develop the first photovoltaic energy park at New Energy. It will start its operation in the second semester of 2022. Luzia is the name of the park. It has 149 megawatts in peak, focused on the free market. It is born, as I said, with 100% of its energy sold by 2026, and 20% of its energy sold until the end of its useful life. That's a contract with Claro operators. It's a project with synergy with Chafariz and with also the Santa Luzia transmission line. Its CAPEX is in the federal incentives program, and we've obtained the environmental licenses. I'm going to give the floor now to our CFO, Leonardo Gadelha, who will give you more details about the fourth quarter of 2020. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're all doing fine. I'm going to start my presentation on slide 11. Here you can see the evolution of the gross margin for the fourth quarter. That's 26%, 3.1 billion reais, led by increased number of consumers, new tariffs, increased tariffs. We also have a VNR. In the year, we had an increase of 12%. We reached 10.2 billion of gross margin. Regarding operational expenses, in the quarter, an increase of 12%. That's basically connected to three factors. The first one is cut and collection initiatives that had a good impact in our provision for credit losses. Then we had non-recurring losses with CELPE assets before fees or tariffs were reviewed. And we also had some losses when we acquired CEB. Expenses with financial consultants, lawyer, law firm fees. In the year, our OPEX has been almost stable. It grew by 1%. We've absorbed inflation. We increased our number of consumers, new collaborators. And I wanted to highlight the message, a very important message that Mario Rui said on the right-hand side of the slide. Neo Energy has preserved the same expenses standards since 2017 when Electra was incorporated into the group. So this is actually a result of our constant search for efficiency. Slide 12. We have this vision of consolidated and 14% in the year. If we remove the non-cash events, VNR and IFRS 15, 15% in the quarter and 8% in the year. That's excellent results considering that we faced a year with a pandemic. As for networks, 86 in EBITDA, that's the lower left side. Renewables, 9% and liberalized, 5%. Net income, fourth quarter, almost 1 billion. That's 996 million reais with a growth by 61%. And a record net income in the year, that's 2.8 billion. Slide 13, as for CapEx, in the year, the CapEx is aligned to our plan, 6.3 million. I wanted to highlight in the quarter, 879 million for transmission projects. This is the acceleration. We are constantly accelerating construction works, and 381 in wind parks. That's a total of 2.1 billion that reinforces our CapEx ramp-up for 2021. This is again the ability we have to execute this other CapEx standard for 2021. Higher CapEx than our average CapEx. In slide 15, we have the slide per segment talking about networks. Here we see the variation of energy injected in the fourth distributors, as we've anticipated in an announcement to the market. This is not new. Consolidated numbers, there was an increase of 1.3%. At Electro in the quarter, a growth of 4.7% with the recovery of the economic activity that we've seen. On slide 16, we look at distributed energy in our distributors. I wanted to highlight a specific impact in the quarter, which was the reduction of the reading cycle of Group A clients. This is according to norm 863 by Anatel. Billing collection from these customers now was replaced or displaced to January 2021. This is unbilled energy that was accounted for in the fourth quarter, but it's not showing here in distributed energy. There's actually an increase in non-billed or unbilled energy. This has no financial impact whatsoever or in results, and that's why we're showing here, besides distributed energy, on the right-hand side of the graph, we have distributed energy excluding the impact of this norm 863. We would have grown 2.6% without this displacement of the unbilled energy, and in the year, a drop of 1.5%. Slide 17, losses. Good performance in the fourth quarter as for the reduction of lost energy. The adequation to norm 863 led the unbilled volume to increase in the quarter. It had an impact in the loss indicator. Unbilled energy, it's not an energy that we've lost. Since it has not been read, it is in the losses column, so to speak. It does have an impact in this indicator. This is a temporary impact, of course. It will be transferred throughout 2021 until the last quarter of this year because we look at an indicator of 12 months. Once again, no financial impact for the company. There was no increase in the amount of lost energy. We clearly see in this slide in the bottom part, the volume of lost energy, as we see, it was actually improved in most of our distributors. At CELPE, for instance, it remained stable, as you can see, both when we look at the volume of energy losses and the energy itself, excluding this impact. We are constantly combating losses. We have inspections, substations. We have the inspection of public lighting systems and also police enforcement initiatives. Our performance was actually quite good in losses. In the next two slides, slide 18, PECLD with its provision for credit losses. That's slide 18. Fourth quarter, we had a strong performance regarding delinquency. PECLD before COVID was 110 million in the quarter. In this quarter, it was reduced to 33 million. That shows the success of our collection and cutting initiatives. And this was strong in all distributors, as you can see. On the right-hand side, you can see some highlighted actions. I've mentioned some of them in the last slides. Some initiatives we started during the most critical period of the pandemic, such as campaign and different media, credit card payment, virtual card payment, and also bonus action with cashback system. So these are some of the initiatives we had during the pandemic. On slides 19 and 20, here we see quality indicators, DEC hours, and FEC. You see the improvement in indicators, both for DEC and FEC in the four distributors. Again, this was a pandemic year. We could not evolve in these indicators in the four distributors in a year such as 2020, which also, of course, shows our operational excellence. Actually, we managed to improve in these years. Now looking at networks results, that's slide 21. Here we see an evolution of 26% in gross margin, that's fourth quarter, connected to tariff adjustments in the four discos, distributors, an increase in our base of customers, and a VNR with a difference of 248 million. That means 162 million plus in the quarter. As I mentioned in consolidated numbers, the operational expenses grew by 11%. Due to our cut and collection initiatives and also a low in the assets due to tariff reviews that we had in 2020. There was a reduction of 1% in our OpEx, and that just shows the efficiency of our cost management. We managed to absorb inflation. We now have over 1,000 electricians working with us. We've increased our customer base. And on slide 22, we see our networks EBITDA. It grew by 41% in the quarter and 15% in the year. If we exclude non-cash values, we had 15% growth in the quarter and 9% throughout the year. On the right-hand side, we divide the EBITDA variation between distributors and transmission. 33% growth in distribution and transmission, 84% growth. The net income in the networks business grew by 65%. That's 1.1 billion reais and 2.9 billion for the whole of the year. Now on slide 24, we are talking about renewables. Here you see the EBITDA and net income. Fourth quarter, a growth of EBITDA by 29%, 162 million. And that includes both hydro energy, wind energy. This is good because of the season aspect of hydros and better prices in wind energy. This all allowed us to have these numbers in the quarter. Throughout the year, we had a decrease of 6% due to the reasons that we mentioned up until the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we had a 50 million profit, and throughout the year, 202 million in net income. That's net income for renewables. In slide 26, we see the free market. Fourth quarter, the EBITDA is of 68 million. That's a decrease of 8% when compared to the fourth quarter. And throughout the year, the EBITDA was 347 million. That's an increase of 29% connected to the good performance we had of Thermal Pernambuco. Also, due to our commercial positioning of NEC, we are now focusing on final customers and customers in our own portfolio. Net income was stable in the quarter. Net income grew by 2%. And throughout the year, we had a growth of 63%. We reached 194 million reais. That's the final section of my presentation before the Q&A. This is the capital structure. that you see on slide 28. Here we highlight, first of all, the consistent deleveraging since 2017. On 2020, we finished with a net debt 2.85. That's the ratio. Net debt EBITDA ratio 2.85, much below what we had in 2017. When we look at a debt structure, we are very comfortable in that sense to execute our plan. 86% of the debt is long-term. And the long-term debt is very well distributed throughout the next few years, as you can see in the lower right-hand side. The average maturity is our 4.7 years. So it's very well managed, our debt. We also have diverse sources of funding on the left lower-hand side. So it's quite well managed from a maturity perspective and from a source perspective. At the end of the day, the cost is very competitive, below 5% a year, which is what we saw in the fourth quarter. On slide 29, we see, I'm not going to go into details, of course, but you see cash management and funding to increase our capacity to have access to different funding sources at competitive costs. I wanted to highlight a couple of them. We have BNDES, so development banks, also BNB, BEI, also banks. But banks that are uncommon, few companies have access to them, such as Sumitomo and Mizuho, also FCO. We've started an operation with FCO. It's the Midwest Constitutional Financing Fund, and other lines of funding at very competitive costs. In 2020, we've had a capital release of 5.8 billion. That's a considerable number. And I think that the main message here is that this makes us even more comfortable to state that we are ready to execute our 2021 plan. We know this is a very important year for Enel Energia because we have a sound CapEx to execute. Besides concluding the acquisition of CEB, and considering what we've done so far, the plan we have, most of the lines will come from incentive lines. These are secured lines, most of them. We've signed a contract with the banks. This is for the projects we're developing. And as for CEB, we also have a funding line signed for the full amount of CEB. This will take place by February 26. We will have access to this funding. So now I'd like to ask the operator to open for the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. If you want to ask your question, please type star one. Should your question be answered, you can type star two. Please hold while we wait for questions. First question comes from André Sampaio from Santander.
Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the cost dynamic. We saw in this quarter costs rising a bit due to the initiatives against delinquency. Looking forward, thinking that delinquency should be less concerning due to the economic recovery, what are you expecting regarding costs? This is my first question. Second question, can you please comment a bit on the proposal that Enel started yesterday regarding reviewing CELPE? Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of information regarding the B tranche of this revision. What is the dynamic, or even the B tranche? Can you tell us a bit about this?
Good morning, André. Thank you for your question. Regarding cost dynamic, as we've explained in our presentation, and we can go into further detail if you like. This is strongly influenced in the fourth quarter by the recovery of our cutting activity. We could not do that for 6 months with low-income customers and all customers for a while also. And it's really important to recover that because it has to do with the payment culture of our customers. That led us to prepare a plan that we call D plus one. It was very much concentrated in the last semester in terms of cutting. We recovered the level of customers that we can cut energy, the same level that we had before the pandemic. And this is reflected in our provision for credit losses, as you saw in the fourth quarter. The cost trend looking forward, as we finalize this, to keep this under control below inflation, absorbing the costs, internalizing these activities, improving the implementation of new projects, and also acquiring new clients. 240,000 new clients that we've acquired in 2020, and we want to go on with that. I'm going to give now to Fulvio Machado, the head of network, who will give you further details about this D plus one collection and cutting program. And I also wanted to give the floor to Solange because she has some details about our visions for tariffs for CELPE, which was the subject of a public hearing.
Good morning, everyone. Adding to what Mario said in his reply, I wanted to give you some numbers. We had a strong restriction in our initiatives during the pandemic. Just to give you one idea, in the field, the monthly average due during the pandemic was of 84,000 activities. After, in September, we had to change this, went to 246,000 initiatives every month, 3 times more than what we had during the pandemic. And that led us to reach a negative PCLD, provision for credit losses, in CELPE, for instance. So it was really worth it to have this action and to have this OPEX at the serve or at the service of our PCLD. For 2021, we expect to recover pre-pandemic rates, having costs under control, searching for efficiency. Once again, as Mario mentioned, in terms of efficiency, should be even better than in previous years. And we want to move away from the additional costs we had in the last quarter. The last quarter is not a benchmark. We wanted to go back to the PCLD, the provision for credit losses, but this quarter is not an example. We want to go back to normal rates. So we are now going into regular activities. We can now cut energy in low-income families, and we have to reach our efficiency balance. You know, it depends. Each client has its own profile, but we have a huge array of actions that we can take, and we want to reach the optimum point in our initiative. So we will see a reduction in these expenses month after month. Thank you, Fulvio. I will now give the floor to Solange Ribeiro. She's going to talk about the tariff review.
Good morning, everyone. Yesterday, there was a public hearing. This is a process that will take 45 years, 45 days, sorry, 45 days. This is connected to investments we've done throughout the period. The number placed by ANEEL includes our compensation base. And there will be, of course, inspections by ANEEL. We don't expect any surprises. These numbers for public hearing should be updated in regards to the previous year. And after this process, we will act throughout the next 45 days to adjust some specific aspects with ANEEL, the National Energy Agency. This is very much connected to our expectations. Throughout the process, we may focus on some methodology aspects that are now led to public consultation. But I would say that the process is very much aligned to what we expect.
Thank you for your replies. Good morning. Thank you, André.
Next question comes from Marcelo Sá from Itaú.
Good morning, everyone. My first question is connected to André's. At ANEEL's meeting yesterday, they did not mention what is the tranche B of CELPE, what is the asset base. Can you share that with us? Second question is regarding yesterday's opening of the public hearing for PIS and COFINS taxes. As far as we understand, the agency's idea is that the 50 billion reais that are forecasted in terms of tax gains will be transferred to consumers. And they will decide on how that will be transferred to consumers. But it seemed to us during that meeting, no gain will remain with the companies. It will be fully transferred to consumers. We know that in your case, when we look at assets and liabilities, I wanted to understand what are the next steps? What do you intend? Do you intend to go to courts if they keep this understanding at ANEEL?
Thank you, Marcelo. Let's switch the order. I'm going to start with the PIS COFINS tax question, and then Solange is going to talk about the CELPE tariffs. The technical announcement is aligned to our expectations. Assets and investments we've made are included in our compensation. We've reinforced our investments in the concession. That's limited because the technical note was made available yesterday. We didn't look through it yet. As for PIS COFINS taxes, we always have been neutral in that sense. As you know, we've with COELBA and CELPE, we went to court. Some of them have had final decisions for these distributors, and we are now undergoing the administration process to obtain compensation. As for yesterday's public hearing, we understand, we believe that this is a vision that reflects the reality. There's an excess of taxation that was paid for by customers. You know, taxes included in the tariffs for distribution are a pass-through for distribution. And as we've signalized early in our discussion, for us, this is key. We understand that if the main beneficiaries of this review we've had with distributors to have an appropriate calculation of PIS and COFINS, this has to go to consumers. However, there will be a debate in the public hearing. We will make our contributions with ANEEL. We want to preserve distribution from a delivery perspective in terms of the resources we deliver to consumers. We want to avoid concessionaires to be sued by specific customers. And we also believe that this is connected to a politics of regulation by incentives. Many years, a lot of effort taken. It takes costs, expenses, structure, expenses. And we understand that we made this work. We had this vision. And this is our thesis. So we are entitled, we believe, to an acknowledgement and a compensation of our costs. We want incentives so that in the future, distributors company will keep on keeping these tariffs. Yesterday's meeting was historic, I would say.
the directors made their presentations clearly about the behavior of the sector in recent years and how these changes in tariffs that we see looking forward have to be divided. An increase in generation costs, transmission costs, and very much below the two other segments is distribution. So we do expect that throughout these public hearings for PIS and COFINS, we can make our contribution. We want to preserve the integrity of concessionary companies. And we want this to be acknowledged as it should be. And that's what Efrain signalized yesterday in the public hearing. We want this to have more reason than passion. You know, there's a lot of money involved. So this should be correctly allocated in terms of incentives so that these resources that were obtained do benefit the whole chain, distributors, and also consumers that are, of course, entitled to most of these resources. I want to give the floor to Solange because she has more information about tariff review and the B tranche.
Yes, yesterday meetings was 2.72%. We still don't know details. This will be available throughout today. And as soon as I have this, I will give this to Renato, and Renato will share with you the detail of each specific points as you are requesting.
Thank you. Thank you for your answers. Thank you, Marcelo. Next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. Two questions. The first is regarding losses. Yesterday, ANEEL did not publicize their technical announcement, but they have the non-technical proposal for CELPE. Can you tell us a little bit about the number that was proposed and even the dynamic of losses for the distributors? The adjusted number, excluding the billing cycle change, it shows that you've preserved the same numbers. You actually decreased in comparison to the third Q. You are still above target for some distributors, however. Can you comment on this dynamic, please?
Hello, Carolina. Good morning.
Yes, I think that 2020 was a reflex of our work in previous years, you know, as fighting losses in our distributors. You know, considering the conditions of last year and how the market behaved, we were at the risk of having a huge impact in losses. Our initial forecast was to have huge impact in losses. But throughout the year, we noticed that our initiatives, you know, the dedicated teams to cut were allocated to inspections. And we increased in a very atypical year, in a very uncommon year. We have to look at loss gigawatts. And I think we had huge advancements regarding technical losses, non-technical losses as well. Solange can give you more details. Well, in terms of technical losses and non-technical losses, when we talk about injected energy, it's around 15%, the number. This is for technical losses, that's 8.5%. as they call it, and non-technical losses, we are looking at a flat numbers for a period. Again, this is a process we are starting. It's at the early stages. And we will discuss that with ANEEL, mostly when it comes to non-technical losses. But also technical losses, we believe that we do have elements to review these numbers. This is and the methodology for non-technical losses, as I said,
So this is one of the important aspects. And let me just clarify what I said about Trench B. 2.72, that's the part of Trench 2 in the index. 8% is the increase of Trench B. Just clarifying. Thank you very much. Can I just add one additional question regarding the investment strategy? This is going to be a very relevant year because you will be really incorporating CEB. And that's probably going to be a focus for the company, this asset. There's another auction of privatization, which is Suite C3, a very specific asset profile. Are you guys interested in that asset? Considering that you have relevant CAPEX, and you want to dedicate your attention to this assets, can you comment on that upcoming auction? Well, Carolina, thank you for your question. In 2021, in terms of investment, we are focusing a lot. We have to, we will have to increase investments in 10 million rise networks, improving quality, transmission, building, or the lots we are executing that we won in last year's auction. And we also have the OATs and Chafariz complexes. We also have CEB, as we've mentioned. It's a distributor that is premium, as we said, when compared to what was available in the market. And also looking forward, and I want to be clear, 2021 for Neo Energy is a year of deliveries. At the end of 2020, we did an important effort and investment, both in transmission, wind, photovoltaic, distribution, because we acquired CEB. And in 2021, our focus is delivery, is the execution of the investments, is preserving and improving the profitability of our assets. As a result, I want to be clear, we do not foresee taking part in the C3 distributor, nor in others that might appear throughout 2021. Our focus, once again, is as executing on our business plan and delivering what we are committed to. Always, we want to move forward so that we can, with our investments, to increase our profitability. As for CEB, we know that we have a very seasoned team to work there. Of course, this is a very important asset, and there's a lot to be done in other assets as well. So it's really important to quickly integrate the CEB asset. It's a smaller distributor when compared to other companies we have. And we have a very seasoned team that integrated Electro to Neo Energia 2 years ago. And all these learnings will be allocated into this internal effort to control expenses. We will have external consultants for this process. So we are very confident in terms of investments. We want to focus on the financial health of Neo Energia, and we want all investors to rest assured that this is a year of delivery and execution. We do not want to acquire new assets. That's not our focus. Okay, thank you for your answer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, you have to type *1. So now we finished the Q&A session. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Mario Huistali for his final remarks. Thank you, operator. Thank you all once again for joining this conference call. If you move to slide 31, we would like to finalize with a message restating our commitment to Neo Energia stakeholders. We've always said that at Neo Energia, we are moved by our values, our principles. We have focus on efficiency, creating value, and on capturing results, profitability results for our customers. We've always been committed to create value for our shareholders. Throughout such a special year, which was what, 2021, we were constantly focusing on that. We were constantly focusing on executing what we had promised for 2020. And we faced all the challenges imposed by the pandemic. This was a mantra at Neoenergia. We are essential services, and we are more essential than ever for our country in spite of the pandemic. You know, to improve the quality of life of our customers and looking at the digitalization that the world is going through right now. Of course, investments in renewable energies and energy transformation, this is going to be a major leverage to leave the financial crisis. And because of that, because of the dedication of all collaborators, all employees, we reached the end of 2020 with impressive results in terms of execution, a growth of net income. And as we saw throughout the presentation, these results are sustainable and consistent to what we've been doing in recent years. We will keep on moving forward in our transmission and wind projects. We are looking at real perspectives of delivering these construction works before schedule and below the forecast costs. Rest assured that we know about the challenges that await us in 2021. They are not small and they are many, but we know that we have the right team, an engaged and committed team. And we also have a leadership that's fully committed. We will implement CEB's turnaround in a swift and winning manner. We will improve the profitability that we had foreseen. The soundness of our capital structure is a reason for pride for all of us. It assures our CAPEX and the execution of our commitments throughout 2020 and now in 2021. I wanted to finalize by thanking also all the collaborators at Neoenergia, all these folks that are out on the street delivering their work and preserving our services and our quality. I also want to make it clear that in spite of all the challenges we saw in 2020, results are here. 2021 has started, and it started well. And we are still executing. I can assure you all that the deliveries are on the way, and we will have more good news for you. Thank you all. Take care. The pandemic is still around. Stay safe. Have a nice day. A nice week and a special carnival. This year, carnival is going to be different, and we have to be very careful with carnival this year. I hope you have all a good day. Thank you very much. NOR Energy's conference call is finalized. We thank you all for your participation. Have a good day. Thank you for using Chorus Call.